Robbie's uncle. It's a great pleasure. It's with great pleasure that I introduce my brother David. Jim last Sunday said that I was speaking, and I was a little petrified. I had not prepared, but I did know that it was going to be my brother. Dave comes to us from Rome. I have always introduced him as the person who's teaching Greek to the Romans. He's at the Italian Bible Institute. He is on the faculty in the administration of the Italian Bible Institute. He is also an elder at the Brethren Assembly of Monte Sacro, one of three Brethren Assemblies in Rome. I don't think my father ever realized when he was a minister that he would raise two sons who would both be in assemblies. But they are enjoying it very much in Rome. Debbie, one of his daughters, is a student at Wheaton, and Elizabeth, as we said in the first service, is a student at Grace this year. Ginny, his wife and my sister-in-law, was also a student at Wheaton along with Dave. Ginny is a graduate of the nursing program and studied under Dr. Mixture. And Dave studied under Dr. Hawthorne. And so I'm very delighted now to introduce to you my brother.
Thank you, Paul. Certainly a joy to be here today. And we feel it right at home, even though it's just our second time fellowshipping with you. But since we have all these things in common, and Paul and his family have been so very happy fellowshipping with you here, and our daughter Debbie as well. And I believe you will also remember Jonathan Peck, who grew up with us, or grew up as a boy, a young man, in the city of Rome. And a couple years ago, one of our graduates from the Italian Bible Institute, Franco, a young man in a wheelchair, chapel. We thank the Lord for the privilege of serving him in Italy, a country with 57 million people, a very needy country for the gospel. Most Italians have never heard the true gospel. They have heard the name of the Lord Jesus, and they know the traditions. They know something of the biblical account, but they have not heard that it is necessary for them to be born again. It is necessary for them to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, put their faith in the Lord, that by grace are ye saved, not of works. They have not heard this, and most of them have been turned off from a religious system, which they see as a political system, and they are not too interested. They are more interested in materialism. So it's a needy country, and yet one of great opportunity. When I think of the fact when we first went 16 years ago, the opportunities were so limited. We had so little of everything. Just a few evangelical books in the Italian languages. No films at that time. Very little of everything. But the Lord has given us more opportunities through the years. Today, there are about 40 Christian radio stations in Italy. 6 or 7 years ago, someone challenged the Constitution. The government had monopoly on the radio and television, as it has in many countries. And someone said, well, this is not constitutional. And they proved their point. And the whole ball game was opened up. And anybody who could find, who could buy the equipment, start broadcasting, find a radio wavelength, and start broadcasting, did it. And still to this day, there are no controls. And so many assemblies and missionaries have bought equipment and begun to broadcast in their local area. So there are about 40 of these Christian radio stations. So today, more people are hearing the gospel message in Italy than ever before. Now, the numbers are still so few. We've said through the years there are about 300,000 evangelical Protestants of all stripes out of 57 million. So many Italians still have not come into contact with born-again Christians. Many have not heard the gospel, and we would ask you to pray for this country. Pray for the Italian Christians that they might be revived. this is the beginning of a new year, and I think more than any other time of the year, we look at our own lives. We analyze the goals that we have had for the past year, how we have met them, how we have failed to meet them. We look at the new year, and we think about what we would like to do, what we would like to see for our families, for our ministries, for our businesses, whatever it might be. And I think it's a good time also for us to examine our Christian lives, to examine our assembly, our church, to examine how we stand before the Lord. And there is one passage of Scripture in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, which talks about the state of different churches. And I would like just to read the first letter, the letter to the Ephesians, Revelation chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. You have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, have found them liars. Has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. But this you hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Certainly the Word of God has much to say what we ought to be like, what our churches ought to be like. There are descriptions, there are commendations, there are condemnations, there are exhortations, there are commands. We are not left in the dark. In Revelation 2 and 3, we have these seven letters keying in on weaknesses and strengths of the church. Now, when the book of Revelation was written, Ephesus, the most prominent city of the Roman province of Asia, had already had a long history of Christian witness. Paul had ministered there for 3 years, and this is recorded in Acts 19. The effectiveness of his ministry is stated in verse 10. In Acts 19, "All they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Now, isn't that a wonderful testimony? All they which dwelled in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. And I would remind you that this was before the time of modern communications, such as we have today, before the time of radio and television. So this was by person to person. And everyone had heard the gospel. What a wonderful goal this is. Now, I would say that in this area, certainly everyone has had the opportunity to hear. If they have not heard the gospel story presented to them in a clear way, it is probably their own fault, or they have heard it and not heard it with the spiritual ears of their heart. But many places of the world have not yet heard. So this is a goal that we want to continually work toward, reaching toward, that all men and women might hear the word. This is our prayer for the Italian people, that they might hear. So the preaching of the gospel had affected the worship of Diana, in whose honor the temple of Diana had been built, the structure considered one of the seven wonders of the world. Many people left that worship, which was a false worship, which did not bring satisfaction and peace to their heart, much as we see with our Italian people. Those who have tried to follow the state religion many times have been frustrated and have not received the peace in their heart. They have not followed the truth. But here in Ephesus, many people turned away from idol worship, and the gospel was powerfully effective. Now, after Paul's ministry came to a close, evidence indicates that Timothy for many years worked there in that zone. There's reason to believe that the Apostle John himself exiled on Patmos when he wrote the book of Revelation, had also ministered in Ephesus and in Asia Minor. Christ is pictured walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks or lampstands. He is present and observing the testimony. This is a good reminder for us, a reminder that I want to bring to my own heart. The Lord Jesus looks at my life. He knows everything about me. He knows my testimony. He knows my walk with Him. He knows what my testimony is with my Italian neighbors, with the people with whom I live. He commends the Ephesians for their labor, for their toil, for their patience, for their steadfastness, for their abhorrence of those who are evil. But in spite of these most desirable traits, he declared that the church of Ephesus failed in one important area. He says these sad words, "You have left your first love." The word for love being, of course, that deepest and most meaningful. Your first love you have left. Though they had not departed completely from love of God, their love no longer had that fervency, depth, or meaning it once had. You know, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the book of Ephesians, he commends them for their love for the Lord, love for the saints, verses 15 and 16 of chapter 1. There was love and devotion for Christ himself, a love for the word of God, a love manifested in fellowship with the saints and in their prayer to God, and a love expressed in commendation to Timothy of all them that love his appearing. But the church of Ephesus was now in its second generation of Christians, those who had come in the succeeding 30 years since Paul had ministered in their midst. They continued to work as those before them. But the love of God, which characterized that first generation, was missing. And this cooling of heart, which had overtaken them in relationship to God, was a dangerous forerunner of spiritual apathy, which was later to erase all Christian testimony in this important center of Christian influence. Turkey today, it's difficult to find Christians. It's difficult to find assemblies of believers. The testimony was right, but it faded. In other portions of Scripture, the danger of fading love for God is described. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, he wrote, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith." And the Apostle John wrote, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." This is my heart's concern for my own life, for those of the Italian Christians, that the Italian church, that group of believers, people who believe in the Word of God, and who have accepted the gospel, that they might be revived, that they might have that first love, which evidences would change many things, and we would see more Italians come to know the Lord Jesus. Not just one and two here and there, as we have seen through the years, but we would see a revival as never before in the church in Italy. That's what we would ask you to pray for. What are the evidences of this first type of love for God, of which the Lord was speaking to the Ephesians? I think you and I could give many evidences. Certainly one is that we are a serving or a ministering people. If we love God with all of our hearts and all of our being, with that first love of which God spoke, we naturally want to build in other people, minister to others. In Ephesians 4, we have received the gifts of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Why? Excuse me. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. The hallmark of the Christian life is love. And how important it is for us to be constantly reminded of this. It is a strong term. It embodies self-sacrifice. It means that I might be tempted to go in this direction, but love tells me to go in the other direction, to give myself for other people. I thank God for those Italian Christians who have given themselves totally to God and who are giving themselves to other people. I think of what happened 2 years ago after the earthquake in Italy, as many Italian Christians went to the area and gave of themselves, slept out in the cold and rain, and the weather was miserable, but they gave of themselves to help other people, to bring food and clothing. They sacrificed financially so that reconstruction could begin. And I think of the fact that there are Christian communities today, assemblies of Christian people that have resulted because of Italian Christians who gave of themselves to minister to others. I think of one man in particular, Giovanni, who came to know the Lord in Germany. He had to leave Italy and go to Germany to hear the gospel. And Giovanni came to know the Lord in Germany, but he had a heart for his own people down in the Naples zone, Castellammare di Stabia being his hometown. Giovanni was commended by one of the assemblies in Germany to go back and be a missionary to his own people in Italy. He came back several years ago and he began working in that zone. And after the earthquake, he saw people right around him in his own town who were homeless. He had a real burden to do something immediately for them. He went to the city authorities. He said, "Here is a plot of land. Could I use this to get some prefabricated structures so that these people can have shelter?" And he received the permission, and then he started going to the companies to sign contracts for some prefabricated buildings. Giovanni says, "I didn't have any money, but I believed God in that particular emergency was leading me to do this. And so in faith, I signed checks on several occasions without knowing that the money was in the bank, large sums of money. Now, I wouldn't advise you to do this, but in this particular emergency, God led Giovanni to do it." And in each case, he said, the morning after, things happened with the bureaucracy in Italy a little slowly, so he had to wait till the day after. I don't think I'd have slept at all, but in each case, the Lord honored his faith, and the checks were covered, and so he began to get these prefabricated structures together and constructed a whole village for people. And the people were grateful. Numerous families, about 30-some families, were housed in this village of prefabricated buildings. A little kindergarten was begun. And a few lives began to be changed as they were exposed to the gospel. We went down there in the month of April from the Bible school with the students and ministered among them. What a joy it was to meet these people, some of whom had come to know the Lord. I think of one man in particular. He was known as the violent one of Castellammare di Stabia. The kids were afraid of him as he would walk down the street because he had such a terrible temper. But he came to know the Lord, and his life was changed. He had a smile on his face. He was a man of peace. And the people of the village said to Giovanni, "What have you done with him? Have you cast some witch's spell upon him? He's so different. We don't know him anymore." They attributed the changed life to a witch's spell, because Italian people have seen so little of changed lives because of the gospel. But we thank God for Giovanni, giving himself for others, that others might come to know the Lord, that Christians might be built up. This is the essence of Christian love. That first love, self-sacrifice for the development, for the improvement of another person. So we do not come together just simply to worship the Lord, nor do we come just to be fed the scriptures, but we come together in the context of the assembly to do those things so that we can feed and minister to each other. I like it that you have a half an hour time of fellowship downstairs together after your Sunday school hour, before this hour. Our purpose in being here is to glorify the Lord by seeing the needs of others, by encouraging others. I'll never forget John F. Kennedy's statement, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." I like to apply that to the Church of Jesus Christ, to the assembly of local believers. ask not what others can do for you, but ask what you can do for others. Ask what you can do for the Lord and the lives of others. There are people all around us who are going through periods of hurt in their lives. Like the little boy of whom the book was written for children. Every page of the book he says, I am having an awful, horrible, terrible, very bad day. Everything went wrong. He fell in the mud. His mother hollered at him when it wasn't his fault. The teacher picked on him. He forgot his lunch. Everything bad happened. And he was having an awful, horrible, terrible, very bad day. Now there are a lot of people all around us that are having that kind of day. There are a lot of reasons for this. Inferiority complexes, problems in business, children who do not live up to our expectations, physical problems. We all know what it means to hurt. Therefore, we should be able to look at each other and see the need of a person to be built up. People need to be ministered to, so we need to sacrifice ourselves. Most of us enjoy a certain amount of isolation. Now, our apartments in Italy all have the shutters, which can be completely closed on the outside of the windows, and so on. At daytime, it can be pitch black like night. And at every night, all of these shutters go down. And the Italian people enjoy that family intimacy, that isolation, which we all enjoy as well. But the scriptural concept of love means that we have to break that isolation. At times, there are ways in which every one of us can help another person. This is Christianity in love, sensitive, meaningful help. And we should do this in many areas of our lives. Loyalty to each other, not cutting each other, not squabbling. It is wonderful when people can come into our churches, into our assemblies, and say, this is the most loving congregation I have ever been in. And this is a goal we need to reach. Servants who are serving one another. I would ask you to pray for the Italian Christians that we would see this. Sometimes we see the other. I remember visiting a little town in South Italy where the people had agreed upon one thing. The evangelical Bible-believing Christians had agreed upon one thing, and that is to use the facilities. And on Sunday morning, Monday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night, one group of Christians met together. Sunday evening, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, the others came and used the facilities. Never could they meet together. They were at odds. They agreed to use the building, the same building. But this was a small town. The testimony was bad. Everybody knew of the problem. I think of an assembly up in North Italy where one man, because of personality problems last year, pulled his family and some of the others out, and they began another assembly. Well, we praise the Lord that there are two. In fact, there are three now. But the reasons for starting were bad. The spirit was bad, and the testimony was not good. You and I need to love each other. It is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. All the doctrinal teaching of the Bible has as its purpose our ability to minister effectively to our brother. The great doctrine of Christ, our example in Philippians 2, have this mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Consider each other better than yourself. You and I have to do that. This is the first love of which the Lord Jesus taught. Certainly another way that we can demonstrate this first love for the Lord is in evangelism. And I, as a missionary, would urge you to look upon the fields of the world and to reach out, to think of the millions of people who have not heard the gospel. And we need to constantly be reminded that the Great Commission was given to us by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And he has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The purpose of disciples, Jesus tells us, is to make disciples. Why am I in this world? My purpose of being in this world is to make disciples of Christ of the world's people. Just as my purpose in the church is a self-sacrifice of myself for the building up of my brothers. So my purpose in the world is to make disciples, to influence people to become Christians. We thank God for the evangelism that is going on in the country of Italy. I thank God for young men like Franco and Silvano and Nino, these young men who have come to the Bible school, who have given themselves in ministry and evangelism, and others have come to the Lord through them. I think of three men in particular who one led the other to the Lord, began discipling him. He came to the school, got some training. He led another young man to the Lord. That young man came to the Bible school. All three of them are serving the Lord in full-time capacities in Italy. We thank God for these young men who have given themselves to God. So, the Lord has told us that we must love everyone. The Christian is the person who develops in his life, senses that development and ability to minister to other people in dependence upon God. God, our doctrine of God says that God controls my life and my surroundings. So when my car breaks down, God has a purpose in it. Maybe he's providing me with an opportunity to testify to someone, to share my faith, to evangelize, to fulfill the Great Commission. You and I must be witnesses. We must be constantly concerned with the fact that around us are people who are on their way to a Christless eternity, who are lost without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we need that proper balance. And that first love of which God spoke of here is also evidenced in our relationship to God. And that communion, spirit-filled life. A church with a first love is a missionary church, a church reaching out, but it's a church in love with the Lord. A church, an assembly where the individual Christian is faithful in his fellowship day by day with the Lord Jesus Christ. We recently heard Bernard Briscoe speak, and he reminded us that the Great Commission without the Great Communion becomes the Great Commotion. Sometimes we have seen a great commotion in Christian circles. We have not seen the Great Commission being carried out. Ephesians 5:18 commands us to be filled. And how are we to be filled? By drinking and eating from the Lord Jesus Christ, as he reminds us in the Gospel of John. We get life from Christ. Jesus Christ gives us a sense of who we are. God took upon himself humanity. God became man. So when we find ourselves in need of food, we come to Christ. And out of that process comes the fullness of the Christian life. So the Apostle John this morning exhorts us to remember from where we are fallen, to repent and do the first works. The evidences of that first love. How about it this morning? The beginning of a new year. Do we need our hearts revived? How do you stand in your relationship? Do you love him more than ever before? A person who is a Christian is a person who has stopped trusting himself in regard to his salvation and has committed it to Jesus' death. If you are a believer, how is your love today for the Lord Jesus? There is no light without love, and only when love burns can the light shine. Maybe your fire has gone out. One of the things that we've really enjoyed when we come back to the States, and this is the second time in 16 years that we have the privilege of being with family at Christmas time, New Year's, and we've really enjoyed it immensely. One of the things that we've also enjoyed is the 4th of July. Someone asked me, do you have the 4th of July in Italy? Well, I was tempted to say no. I remembered we did, but it's not a holiday. And so we don't have the beautiful fireworks. We have them at New Year's. Now, I saw on the television that Chicago also had beautiful fireworks on New Year's Eve. The Italians have the fireworks, and then they throw out many of the old things at 12 o'clock out of the windows. Toilet bowls or furniture, whatever is not wanted, goes out on the streets, so it's rather dangerous to be out on the streets on New Year's Eve. This is part of the tradition. But we have enjoyed the beautiful fireworks here, the displays that are organized, and we've been to Lake Glen Ellen a couple of times and seen the beautiful display there. And I remember being there 5.5 years ago when our son Steve was about 8 years old, and after having enjoyed this beautiful display there where they had spent hundreds of dollars, I'm sure, thousands probably today, I don't know what it was 5.5 years ago, I said to him, "Wasn't that fabulous? That was fantastic. Didn't you like that?" He said, "Oh, it was okay. Well, just okay. What's wrong with you, Steve? You never saw anything so nice like that." He said, "It was too short." Fireworks are not enough to warm anyone by their brightness, and the members of the church at Ephesus left their place of worship that morning to go back to their homes with the complaint of Christ still ringing in their ears. Maybe, Ephesian Christians, you've been like fireworks, splashed and then gone. They began to realize that love is the only thing that matters in the life of the church. And I really believe this. When there is real love for the Lord, the other things will be in its proper place. We will have the right doctrine as we study the Word of God. The other things in the life of the church will be in their place when there is that all-consuming love for Christ and love for each other. How the Ephesian Christians must have longed for just this one commendation from Christ. Not so much for their steadfastness against the teaching of the Nicolaitans, even though that was important. Not for their magnifying glass of orthodoxy. Not for their labor and patience. They were thankful for those things, but they wanted to have heard one other thing. "I know your heart. I have observed you for over 50 years, and I know that you love me now as you did in the beginning." January 2nd, 1983. How long have you been a Christian? Do you love the Lord now as you did before? We could wonder what the Ephesian Christians did with the letter, but I know what I should do with it and what we should do with it. We should open our hearts and say, "Lord, speak. Be sad indeed if he who gave his all for us should have to say to you or to me, you have lost your first love. You have retained the shell, but lost the pearl." Our Father in heaven, I thank you for this testimony in this place. I thank you for each believer who is present this morning. Thank you for all that you have done for us, for whom you are, for who you are, for all of your wonderful attributes. I thank you for that indescribable gift, unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus, who came to this earth to give his all that we might have life. Father, how can we respond to you this morning in any way less than to say, "Here am I, Lord Jesus. Here is my all. I want to be 100% dedicated to you. I want to have that first love and whatever it means in my life. Help me, Lord, to have those evidences. I thank you for the Italian Christians, those who know you, and I would pray right this minute, Lord, for the church in Italy. I pray for the students at the Italian Bible Institute, those 15 students, few in number, but I thank you, Lord, for them. I pray that you will encourage their hearts, train them, help them to go forth and be effective servants, but most of all, Lord, give them that first love. Help them to be consumed with love for you. We will pray this for ourselves. In Jesus' name.